We turn once again to the Gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter 1, and we shall read from verse 40. Mark chapter 1 at verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. And saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Amen. Here we have recorded by Mark a wonderful event in the public ministry of Christ. An individual who in many respects was helpless, and yet he met one who is full of compassion, and one who is the great physician. And for this man, this leper, who could not be cured, it seems, by any of his fellow men, any physician on earth, there was a full cure and restoration, and we believe salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ. According to Matthew's account, this miracle took place very soon after Christ preached the Sermon on the Mount. Leprosy was something that seemed to be quite common at the time when Christ came into the world and ministered in Israel. And we read in the Old Testament scriptures, in the book of Leviticus, as to how leprosy was to be identified. It was the work of the priest to do that. The individual had to go to the priest and would be examined by the priest, and care would be taken to discover what sort of condition, skin condition, the individual had. And it seems there was a range of things, and not everything was what we would call leprosy today. Leprosy still exists. But we are thankful that the Lord in his kind providence has so enabled modern medicine and care that leprosy is far less common than it once was. It is something which can be treated, but not in those days. The leprosy, we call leprosy, that seems largely to have been beyond man's cure. A scab in the flesh, spreading in the flesh, consuming the skin, and very contagious. The leper was legally unclean, ceremonially unclean, and so was any individual who touched the leper. And it was then something greatly to be feared, and something that if it came upon an individual would cause that individual much grief indeed. He would be declared unclean. He would have to live apart, and he would effectively be separated from the rest of society. As ever, when the Lord Jesus Christ came and ministered, he showed himself to be Lord of all, above all things earthly, to have the very power of Almighty God, so that what was beyond man was not beyond our dear Saviour. That with regard to the body and the soul. And when we read of the healing miracles and what Christ did for the body, we are to understand what Christ is able to do for the soul. And you have that parallel. It's clear in Scripture. Leprosy, this skin condition, this largely incurable condition, disfiguring the individual, causing the individual to be shut out. It is a type of sin. The sin that cleaves to us, the sin that is within us, the sin that separates us from God, the sin that makes us unclean in the sight of the Holy One. But here is Christ. Christ has the cure for the leper, and he has the cure for the sinner. Let us then consider this account that Mark gives of Christ cleansing a leper. And firstly, to consider with the Lord's help, the leper coming to Christ. In verse 40, there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Is it not interesting that this leper came to Christ? By now the fame of Christ's miracles must have spread abroad, so that many, if not all in Israel, were aware that there was a prophet in their midst. We have read already in Mark's account of how Christ has healed many sick of diverse diseases, all kinds of illness and sickness, and how he has even delivered those who were possessed with devils. And this leper has heard of these things. It is instructive how the leper came to Christ. And from what we read here in Mark, also in Matthew and Luke, we have the distinct impression that this leper had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had heard sufficient as to be persuaded that this was the Son of God. It is often difficult to know the spiritual standing of those whom Jesus met. But we believe that in general, when Christ had had personal dealings with an individual and granted that individual healing, it was not only for the body, but for the soul. A blessing for the soul. You see how he comes. It says here in Mark that the leper came beseeching Christ. And that is a strong plea. That is a man with a burden, and he unburdens himself to Christ, and he pleads with Christ for help. And Christ, of course, as everyone else, can see that this leper is in need of help. But he does more. He kneels down to Christ. And when we read Luke's account, we are told that he fell on his face. He bowed down, he prostrated himself even before Jesus Christ. And then Matthew tells us something more. He worshipped Christ. He worshipped Christ. That term can be used for giving proper respect to someone who holds a certain office. But when we read in Scripture of those who came and worshipped Christ, we believe that it was that worship which belongs to God, religious worship. And we believe that this leper understood that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God. So he comes bowing down, and he comes worshipping, and he comes beseeching. He's in earnest. He desires from Jesus Christ to be delivered from this plague, from this leprosy. And he will not be deterred. He will make his plea, and he will press it until Jesus grants him his request. He will not have to wait long. We will see how compassionate Christ is. Others in the Bible, they had to press their case again and again, like the woman of Cana. But the Lord, out of his compassionate heart, granted their request. Is there not a lesson here for us as sinners? And we probably say to ourselves, unless our conscience is truly awakened, we're whole. We have nothing like leprosy. We do not have any physical complaint of that kind. By and large, our lives are as they ought to be. But dear friend, if the word of God comes to you with power, if there is any conviction of sin, you begin to view yourself differently. You take a look within your own heart, and you see all that is foul there, all that is unclean. That is how sin is viewed by a holy God. And so the question for you here today is this: given that that is man's state, your state and my state, given the corruption of our heart, and that we cannot do what is right in God's sight, we cannot please God in anything, and yet God requires of us a perfect obedience, a perfect righteousness, what are we doing? What are we doing here in God's house? Are we stirred up within? Are we considering Christ, the remedy for sin? Are we in earnest? If this leper could come beseeching the Lord, well, that we would have the same sense of need and the same sense of urgency. Perhaps this would be the only opportunity this leper would have to meet Christ in that way. And we're at public worship. And we might think we'll be here next Sabbath as well. And perhaps we will be. We hope we will be. But we cannot say that. And the gospel is preached. Christ is the cure for the sin-sick soul. And are we seeking him? And are we worshipping him? And are we in earnest about these things we ought to be. And I must direct you particularly to the words of the leper. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. These words are not in the form of a prayer, but they are effectively a prayer. They certainly express the leper's desire that Christ would do this for him. And we see something of the faith of the leper in this. He has every confidence that Christ is able to cleanse him. He is in no doubt about that. Thou canst make me clean. And you must come to Christ in that way. You must not come to Christ as a sinner, full of doubt concerning the ability of Christ to bestow upon you forgiveness, to make your soul clean. You must believe out of the Scriptures that he is able to do exactly that. He's done it for many others, and he's able to do it for any sinner who will come to him, giving him that honor as God, that he's able to save the soul. And yet we see with the leper a submission, a gracious submission. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. When temporal mercies are sought from the Lord, there has to be that submission to God's sovereign will. We do not have a promise in the Bible for healing whenever we are sick, or that God will always answer requests for temporal mercies. He's promised to bless his own with their daily bread, and they shall have a supply of all things needful. But it is not always the case that a believer who is sick will be recovered out of that sickness. When it comes to the things of the soul, we know that Christ is able and willing to save the sinner. And he will save the sinner who comes to him, honoring him with the request, believing in him according to what Scripture says. And that sinner will not be turned away, not be denied. That sinner will have salvation. No one ever truly sought the Lord for salvation and didn't receive salvation. Is that not encouraging? Does that not say to you that if you come as one who knows you're guilty before God and perishing in your sin, then the Lord will indeed receive you and bless you with salvation. And do not go to anyone else. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The leper coming to Christ. Secondly, Christ cleansing the leper. Verse 41, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Perhaps a question arises in our minds when we read these verses. We know that Christ was made of a woman, and made under the law. The one who was and is the lawgiver subjected himself to his own law. And if so, how could Christ touch this leper that would infringe the ceremonial law? We do wonder at the priest we spoke of who had that task of identifying the nature of any skin condition that someone came to them about. How could they examine them without being very close to them and even perhaps touching them? Perhaps there was an exemption for the priests. We cannot say exactly. But ordinarily, no one should touch anyone who's unclean. And certainly not anyone who had leprosy. For one thing, it was contagious. But Christ touched the leper. Some say that the cleansing of this leper being accomplished by Christ, by his command, expressed in those words, "Be thou clean," at the point when Christ's hand touched the man, Christ was not touching a leper, but one who had been a leper. Because we're told, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him. So that perhaps the command took effect just before Christ actually touched the leper. A better understanding of what took place is that when Christ did something according to his divinity, and that includes his miracles, it could not result in him contracting any ceremonial uncleanness. What he did as the Son of God, according to his divine nature, his divine power, was above and beyond any earthly law. And so we believe that Christ did touch the leper. And that was precious. Precious to the leper. No one ever did that. Everyone kept at a distance. Everyone shunned the lepers. They dwelt together in their own space. No one would have physical contact with them. But Christ put forth his hand and he touched the leper. And the leper knew in what sense Christ was doing that. Christ was moved with compassion. Would that not be evident in his manner and his gesture? His very demeanor would speak of compassion, overflowing with compassion. The loving kindness of the Lord. Mark brings it out in his account. And this is not the only occasion when the sympathy of Christ, his fellow feeling, was evident. Search the scriptures and you will find time and time again that Christ was evidently different from the Jewish religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests, the chief priests. There was nothing of this in them. They were strict and straight according to the law, and they would in no way allow the greater work of mercy to proceed if they thought it infringed the ceremonial law. And Christ reminded others of the word of God. "I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Mercy is that in which God himself delights to reveal it and to show it. And so with the Son of God in our nature when he was in the world. And those who might have been looking on, we do not know who was present, seeing Jesus stretching out his hand, touching the leper, that surely would have spoken to them. Some might have said, oh, he shouldn't do that. That's forbidden. But others would have noticed his demeanor. And they would hear his words. I will, be thou clean. Christ exactly answers the desire, the request of the leper. I will, the sovereign will of God, be thou clean, the sovereign power of God. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we see divine power. It was often hidden because he came in humiliation. He would endure the contradiction of sinners against himself. He would suffer personally many indignities. Ultimately, he would be seized and tried with a false accusation and scourged and spat upon and then nailed to the cross. But he was the Son of God. The unchangeable Son of God. He retained all his divine power according to the will of God. He would exercise it or not exercise it. But here he exercised it. I will, be thou clean. In Luke's account of the gospel, you have this expression of the Lord Jesus. The disciples are asking, who then can be saved? Salvation seems to be a difficult thing. Christ had said, it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Who then can be saved? Perhaps they were betraying this. That they still had a certain love of material things. He said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. What a word that is. It comes from the mouth of Christ. And Christ, by his works, by the signs and wonders, by the miracle of cleansing the leper, showed himself to be God. What he did was possible with God and only possible with God. Those who had eyes to see saw in that mighty deed divine power. Christ delivered this leper from his physical uncleanness, from the sickness of leprosy. He removed that leprosy altogether. And he delivered the leper from his legal uncleanness, the ceremonial uncleanness, and restored that leper to Jewish society once again. Perhaps to family and friends. There was no reason now for his separation. He was no longer unclean. And we are encouraged, are we not, to see the spiritual parallel to understand that what Christ did for this leper, he does for sinners. In the gospel declares Christ's redeeming death on the cross of Calvary and calls sinners to Christ. And what will the sinner receive in coming to Christ? Cleansing. A full cleansing. And Christ will cleanse the sinner from the guilt of sin and from the power of sin. We have verses in the first epistle of John, chapter 1, which make this parallel between what Christ did for the leper and what he does for the sinner very clear. John explains at the beginning of his first epistle why he is writing, and the desire that he and the apostles have. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship restored between God and sinners. Just as that leper was brought back again into the Jewish society. And what is there then in Christ? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There you have the cleansing of the blood of Christ shed in his death, an atoning death for the sins of his people, removing guilt and overcoming the power of sin. Do you see that? And do you see that that is what we all need before God and Christ by his cross meets the need we have? Finally, we have Christ's charge to the leper. It's there in the remaining verses, 43 to 45. And the charge was this, and it was a strong one. He said to the leper that he was to say nothing to any man. Do not go about declaring what I have done for you, the cure I have given you. And in a sense, that seems a strange charge. If people knew this individual, if they saw him and could see how badly the leprosy had disfigured him, now to see him whole, his flesh new, the well-being and the joy, well, that couldn't be hidden. And would he not have to give some explanation of what had happened? And the real sense of what Christ is saying is this: say nothing to any man, but first do this. Go thy way, show thyself to the priest. Offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Do that first. before you tell anyone else. And there was great wisdom there. In sending the leper, now cleansed from his leprosy, to the priest, Christ was having that leper fulfill the requirement of the law of Moses. The requirement that one cleansed from any form of leprosy would go and offer prescribed sacrifices. Christ came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And he was subject to it as a man. And Christ would often be accused by the Jews of setting aside the law of Moses, these ceremonies. But Christ was not a lawbreaker. And Christ would remove by such things as telling this leper now cleansed to go to the priest, offer for your cleansing what the law requires. Christ would remove any objection, any proper objection that any might make concerning him, as though he was overturning all that was under the Old Testament and abolishing it. Well, the ceremonial law would be abolished. It would be done away with on the cross. Christ would fulfill it there and then for all time. And that law of Moses and all the burdensome ceremonies and regulations and rituals, it would all be put away. It would no longer divide Jew and Gentile. But now, the cleansed leper is required to do as that law demands. But he went out, we are told, and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter. That is what the leper did. We do not know if the leper ever went to the priest. We would imagine that if he was a man who had faith in Christ, he would do that, because Christ told him to do that. He certainly did not do it first. Rather, he began to herald his cure, to proclaim it, to declare it to all he could. That was not of help there and then to Christ's public ministry. We said before that the miracles were really secondary to Christ's ministry. They were signs. Signs of the kingdom of God. That the kingdom had now come with the coming of the king himself. Christ did not want crowds to follow him simply because of the miracles. Because of these signs and wonders. Becoming excited about these things. And shutting their ears to what Christ had to say. And what he had to teach, and what it would be in Christ's terms to follow him and be his disciple. And this leper, going out and publishing it, his cure, well, that would perhaps only add to the sense of excitement that many had concerning Jesus of Nazareth. As one who worked miracles, as though that was the foremost thing. All in the sovereignty of God, all ultimately used by the Lord for his glory and the good of his cause. But he had straitly charged the man, and the man did not obey that charge. And we find that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city. If he did, he would be mobbed. People would press upon him. They would no doubt demand that he do miracle after miracle after miracle, when his burden was to preach, to proclaim the glad tidings of the kingdom and salvation for sinners. And we're told that Christ now withdrew. He withdrew to more remote places, something like John the Baptist in his ministry. For a time at least, Christ withdrew and was without in desert places. Yet that did not prevent crowds from seeking him out, gathering together. They came to him from every quarter. And we're seeing early in his public ministry of the fame, the acclamation, the renown of Jesus of Nazareth, that so many would come and at least see something done by Christ, if not listen as they should to his words. On several occasions, Christ would charge those who were blessed with some miracle, some healing. Jairus' daughter raised from the dead, he charged those who were in attendance not to tell anything, not to publish the thing abroad. But think of this. Christ did that with regard to these miracles. There is another miracle, a greater miracle, wrought by Christ multiple times, countless times. A miracle that takes place in the soul of the sinner by the work of his Spirit, the mighty power of his grace, the new birth, the new life in union with Christ, a full pardon for sin, reconciliation to God, and to have all the privileges, the blessings, and the enjoyments of God's free salvation. That's a miracle. That is a supernatural work that is entirely of God's grace. And if you have been blessed in that way, Christ never says to you, do not mention it. Do not say anything to any man. Christ surely says the opposite. Tell what the Lord has done for you. Speak it forth. Above all, show yourself to be a child of grace, one whose life has been transformed. And name his name, the precious name of Jesus, who saves his people from their sins. So the question for us is this. Are we the Lord's? Have our souls been cleansed from sin? Are we now guilt-free? Are we now washed in the blood? And power of sin broken, and sanctification proceeding, holiness unto the Lord. Is there something of that in your soul? If so, do you confess Jesus Christ before men? That is required of us, because God must have the glory. and others must hear, of this precious Saviour, who altogether cures from the dread leprosy of our sin. May God grant it to us each one, for his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we beseech thee, in the name of thy beloved Son, grant thy blessing upon thy truth, and have dealings with us, each and every one, that we may know our need, and come to thee with it, and obtain from Jesus Christ, the great High Priest, pardon for our sin, and to be clean in thy sight. Hear us, O Lord, in thy mercy, and all for Jesus' sake. Amen.